And he asked him, he said, why didn't you bring this to me? Why didn't you bring this to me? And he said, oh, boss, you're always telling us don't bring our personal crap to work.
Yeah.
And we say that.
Yes.
But we don't always mean it.
Yeah.
Help me understand.
Help That's me some understand. Good stuff.
That's some good Nick Biddle crap right there.
Yes.
Welcome, everybody, to the Nick Biddle Life and Leadership Podcast. Here again with my wife, Tarina. I'm not supposed to ask you how you're doing today because we talked about that. And it's like, you shouldn't ask me how I'm doing because that sounds rehearsed. But I know how you're doing, but not everybody else does. So I don't, I guess I'm going to ask, how are you doing?
Oh, okay.
How are you doing?
I'm pretty good today.
You are not. You are lying. How are you really doing?
I'm having some back pain, but.
Yeah. You threw your back out, what, week ago? 10 days
probably.
Ago?
Probably. Probably, yeah.
And it's a struggle.
Yeah. But you have this really nice stool I get to sit on that rotates, so it's very perfect. I need one of these at home.
Well, you might take it home. I'm not sure. I had to put your socks on this morning.
Yeah, I know.
It was bad.
Thank you for supporting me, though.
Well, it's the cross I bear.
Right.
What are you going to talk to us about today? What are we going to talk about today? Well, yeah. I was going to make you do this some of the talking today because you had a pretty big week, didn't you?
I did.
You got to work.
Yes.
For the first time. Now, I'm going to get some hate mail. I'm not saying you don't work being a stay-at-home mom, but you have not worked professionally. You haven't got paid to work.
Right.
Since how long?
It's probably been a little over a year now.
It's been a little more than that.
Has it? I've lost track of time.
Remember the day you retired?
Yes, I do, now that you say that.
What day was that?
Yes, it was the day we got the keys to our home. We built a home, and which was a lovely project. I had so much fun doing that. And you were out of town, and I'd come home from work my last day, so I was pretty emotional, which I can talk about that if you want me to or not. And our builder and the guys were there, and they're like, okay, I think we're done, Trina. I'm like, no, I don't want you to leave.
Yeah, we had a really good time.
Oh, yeah. House. Yeah.
You know, we hear a lot of people say that, oh, it's a stressful time, and it's going to be a disaster. And man, we loved it.
Man, loved it.
We loved our builder.
Yep.
Shannon and Brock.
All the guys,
Those guys were a blast. I should have Shannon on here sometime, but
yeah,
I would lose my family-friendly rating. It would change this podcast to explicit.
Not if I was in the room. He's clean when I was in the room.
He cleans it up a little bit when you're in the room, but that dude's got some stories.
Yes, good ones.
So how was...
Okay.
So first off, I mean, I want you to tell everybody what you used to do and then what you did. Tell us a little bit about your career.
Oh, how was that important?
We're going to find out.
Okay. So I'm a nurse, and for the first season of my nursing career, I did infants, newborn nursery in a women's hospital. Loved that. Next phase, I went to Botox and filler injecting and training doctors in new offices, and I did that for a long time, a lot of years, and I loved it so much. And I, you know, in nursing, you get burned out a lot, and I loved what I did in the first season, but I did get burned out, and so I needed a complete 180, and I definitely got that. And I know that industry of aesthetics can get a bad rap very quickly.
What do you mean bad rap?
Well, I use the term, when my patients came to me, I wanted to be different. I mean, I wanted to be honest. I am honest, but I didn't want my patients walking out of my room looking like a housewife, quotes.
What do you mean housewife?
Well, so I'll explain that. Like an overdone look, like you're ready to go on a movie set. You have puffy lips, really large cheeks, and eyebrows that almost touch your hairline. That's not my look. As you know, I'm a natural person, and I didn't want my patients to have that look either. I wanted my patients to look like they don't see someone like me, and they just look a little bit perkier, a few less wrinkles, pretty refreshed on a daily basis, you know.
You want them to look 5 years younger, not like they've injected with plastic.
Yes, yes, yes. I mean, I want to age gracefully, but I don't want wrinkles. So,
right.
And I don't want to, I want to say this humbly, but I had a great relationship with my patients. I mean, I had many of them for my entire career, you know, 20 plus years, and they became friends, and, you know, I would get to pray for them. I would get to learn about their life, and we shared. And I mean, I have patients, I remember when they gave me a baby gift when I had my, you know, because I met a lot of them before we had kids and carried on through my whole career with the same people. And I just loved it. And, you know, I would see a lot of men and women who come in and think.
You'd see men.
Yes.
Okay.
And who would come in my office and, oh, you know, they want a quick fix and they think what I do, outer beauty, is going to change them. I don't know if that's the way I want to describe it, but the more I would get to talk to them and spend time with them, I mean, I always tried to make it a point, hey, what I do is great. It will make you look a little refreshed on the outside, but inner beauty is what matters. Inner honesty, inner genuineness is what matters, and that's what makes you beautiful or handsome.
Well, and it's that level of confidence that really makes somebody attractive, right?
Right. I think so.
And you were doing a lot with that.
Mm-hmm. It was so fun. I loved it.
So you haven't done that since Shannon and Brock gave you the keys to our home, which was, that's probably, maybe it's almost coming up on 2 years now.
Oh, yeah, it probably
coming
is.
Coming up on 2 years.
It's gone quick.
So what did you do this last week? You got to work. I mean, you've kept your license up, so mm-hmm. you're legal.
Will.
But
yes.
What did you get to do?
Well, I got to consult an office and just help them. They had been through some training, and they just wanted some more help. And they're like, can we just use the experience you have? Just come help us. Talk to us. Walk us through some things. You know, we've done this. Do we like it? Do we want to change it? And man, it was fun.
What was the best part about that?
Well, this sounds so
real. It sounds real.
Okay, real.
It's not bad.
I love being a stay-at-home mom. And
there's a butt coming.
No, it was a very hard decision, as you know, for me to retire for this rest of the time as our kids are at home. And because I love what I do, and I thought I was good at it.
You're really good at it.
And, but working for just a short burst, you know, I understand, because you come home from a lot of trips saying this, like, it's really nice for someone to see your talents and praise you for your talents. And, you know, I'm at home with kids, teenagers who I love, but,
sometimes we love them because we have to.
But they're learning how to compliment and encourage. And most of the time it's roll their eyes, you know.
Yeah. Well, one of the things that I just cracked up about is you were like, Nick, when you came home, you lit up like a Christmas tree. And you were like, it was so amazing. I would share an idea. And these ladies thought it was a good idea. And, you know, at home for the last 2 years, at home for the last almost 18 years, you have an idea and it's like, bleh, you know, roll our eyes. That's a horrible idea, Mom. You know, so it's, but I don't think we realize how beat down we get as parents because none of our ideas are good. Now, our kids' friends think our ideas are good.
But. Well, and I just, the more and more I feel sorry for my parents, and I just need to apologize for my teenage years. I was awful.
Yeah, that's a different.
That's a different episode.
That's a different episode. That's right. You know, you brought up, because when we first got married and we talked about this, you worked at the hospital at Lakeside Women's Hospital, and you worked nights.
Yes.
Which anybody that knows you now cannot believe that.
No.
Because you turn into a pumpkin at 8:30.
Right. I was an act of God for me to be able to work nights.
So to work all night. But one of the stories that I get a huge kick out of, which I did not warn you that we're going to talk about. But talk about the Cocoa Puffs.
Oh. Well, so night shift can be really exciting, and then there can be a few slow times. And I was charting. We had paper charts back then, and I was charting, and we would rock babies. You know, if we had some fussy ones, we would rock them and try to comfort them. And so I had a baby in my arms while I was charting, you know, learning multitasking long before I had children, and eating a snack at the same time because I'm trying to stay awake. And before you send a baby back to their parents, you do a full assessment. You know, you take their blankets off, you know, make sure they're good to go for the morning, give them a fresh diaper, all of those things.
And that way the next nurse knows what they're dealing with.
Yes.
If there's something that's happened or going on with that baby.
Yes.
They need a briefing on that, right?
Yeah. Nursing 101. I mean, you need to know everything that's going on with your patient. And I was just looking at my baby.
No, tell before that what you were doing. Oh, you want to tell before that? Like when you were eating your snack?
Oh, that's right. Yeah. So I'm eating my snack, Cocoa Puffs. I mean, what other healthy snack can you be eating? And dry cereal is wonderful. And I thought I had dropped one, but I really don't remember, you know, but I thought, that's weird. Oh, well, I'm sure it's on the floor, you know, we'll pick it up later, whatever. And then when I'm going to check my baby to get ready to take it to its parents, there is a Cocoa Puff underneath a little neck roll.
It was tucked in.
Yes.
The triple chin.
Oh, I felt horrible. I mean, I kind of got in a lot of trouble for
that. Right. What did the other nurse that was doing that assessment with you, what was their reaction? Because they saw it too, right?
Oh, they were laughing so hard. Yeah. They're like, you cannot do this, Tarina.
But it looked like a big old mole.
Looked like a growth at first.
It's like, oh my goodness, what in the world? Right. Look at this giant growth. But I just think that's funny because one of the things that would happen. So I was in the ice cream business at the time, and I'd be making ice cream or cones till 2 or 3 in the morning. And I would come and bring you ladies.
You would bring us treats.
And there was a couple guys there, but I'd bring you ice cream.
Yeah.
But then about 2 or 3 o'clock, I'd finally just crash. So I'd go to sleep. And then you would come in. When did your shift end?
Usually at 7, so I'd get home about 7:45 or so.
Yeah, so I would go to bed as late as I could to try to get a little bit on your schedule. And I remember one morning I woke up, and I slept on my back back then. Now I'm a side sleeper, but back then I slept on my back. And I remember waking up, and I see something on my chest. And I'm looking around, and you're on my left shoulder, and I'm like, what is going on? And there was a pile of Cocoa Puffs on my chest.
We are so off topic. Do you realize this?
Do you explain what happened there?
I don't know.
Why was there a pile of Cocoa Puffs on my chest?
I'm sure I was starving and was too tired to eat in the kitchen. So I was like, I'll have a snack in bed before I fall asleep.
Well, and what was crazy is I asked you about that the next morning. I said, what the heck? There's a pile of cereal on my chest. And you're like, oh, yeah, I mean, it's just a nice, big, flat area. And you're like, you did that all the time.
But I'm so sorry.
You would normally finish your cereal.
We should not share this.
Before I woke up. So I never knew. I just probably had Cocoa Puff dust in my chest hair, which I think most guys wake up with Cocoa Puff dust. I didn't think anything of it, but the whole pile of cereal. I'm like, what is happening when I'm asleep? But I was a sound sleeper. I had no idea.
Right.
But
So where is leadership in this?
It's coming.
Oh.
I mean, it is
deep.
This might be life. But so then, but you loved having those conversations.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, one of the things I think you're really good at is you're a great listener.
And thanks.
And that is one of the skills that you've used in your practice that I don't know that a lot of people in that industry do, that, you know, in the medical industry, everything's so rushed. It's how many patients can we get in an hour? Mm-hmm. How long would you typically spend with a patient?
Yeah, 30 to 45 minutes, sometimes an hour if it was my choice. You know, it wasn't always my choice, but an hour was perfect.
And what's industry standard?
15, 20.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So at 15, 20 minutes, you're not building a relationship there. Mm-hmm. You're not getting to do a lot of listening. You're basically assessing the patient, shooting them up,
yeah,
getting them out the door.
More than likely doing it my way and not their way, and I'm there to serve them.
Yeah. And I mean, that's what I heard from a lot of the patients that I knew. You would never tell me who you worked on because of HIPAA. You were always real good about that. But some of my friends, you would just spend time with them. Mm-hmm. Listen.
Mm-hmm. Well, thanks.
And I think that's one of the leadership best practices that most leaders aren't very good at. We're really not very good listeners. And you have often brought up how some of the stuff that you use in your work was from some of the stuff that I teach at my work.
Absolutely.
And you've given me a hard time about, a lot of clients call this, what is it?
Nick Biddle crap.
That Nick Biddle crap. That's right.
I don't
right.
want to say that.
I know. You don't have a potty mouth. Crap's not a dirty word. But the Nick Biddle crap that I teach, that's what a lot of, and I work with construction guys, so that's the PG version. But do you know how that got started?
I don't, but I hear it a lot from your guys.
Yeah.
But it's like a funny, but it's a compliment as well, the way I hear it when I'm with you on the road. But
yeah, I think they mean it as a compliment. But so years ago, I was in Houston, and I was doing a foreman workshop, a foreman training for a bunch of plumbers and pipe fitters.
Okay,
these were leaders in that industry, commercial plumbers. They're not messing with a lot of turds. They're putting pipe in buildings and boilers and that kind of stuff. But I had an email after this workshop. About 2 weeks after this workshop, one of the foremen emailed me and he said, "Hey, I used this phrase." And one of the phrases that I teach, or one of the things that I teach, is to start using the phrase, "Help me understand." Help me understand, mm-hmm, is a question. It means the exact same thing as what the heck, or what the fill in the blank. And we can go as deep and dark as we want
Let's
to with
not.
That. But when something happens on a job site, and the way I explain it in my workshops is I'll ask these guys, how good's your poker face? I said, you guys are all in a workshop today, so there's stuff going on your job that you're probably not going to approve of. Mm-hmm. And if you show up tomorrow, and let's say your guys built this and it was supposed to be that, what's your response? Do you immediately go up to them and be like, what the heck is all this junk? Or what did you do? And, mm-hmm, and or do you say something like, help me understand what's going on? And of course, they're always like, well, no, I say, what the? And I said, and what's the response when we approach something that we don't understand or don't like with what the fill in the blank, that casts judgment?
Yes.
And I said, typically you're going to get one of two responses. One, that person will put their hands in their pockets, they'll look at their boots, and they'll be like, I shouldn't have done anything. I should have just sat on the bucket all day. This is what I get for having some initiative. I should have never done this. Or they're going to bow up on you. Mm-hmm. And they're like, you want to dance? Let's dance. Ding, 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 in the blue corner. I mean, they're ready to go. And
yes,
all of a sudden, we've got conflict.
Yes.
And what I'll ask the guys in my workshops is, well, why did they build it that way? Why did they? We don't know. We're guessing.
Yes.
And so I want to start asking the question, help me understand why you did it this way.
Mm-hmm.
And I told these guys, you got to have a good poker face. I want you to go on the job, and when you see something that's blatantly wrong, maybe the pipes are supposed to go east and west, and they're going north and south.
Wow.
And everybody can see it.
Yeah.
I want you to walk up to them and be like, man, this looks good. I mean, wow. You went all the way. All the way. Help me understand something, though. Why did you decide to put it here? I mean, don't we want to know? Don't we want to know why they did? Why did they make the decision they made? If we don't collect the facts, we can't fix it.
Yeah.
And we might find out that they were breeding a plan upside down or backwards or sideways, or we might figure out they can't read plans. But at least we collect the facts. Collect the facts first, then we can make the judgment or the correction. There was an old guy at one of my workshops in Coos Bay, Oregon. Coos Bay, Oregon's right on the coast. I think you've been there.
Yeah.
But it's an old fishing town. It's mm-hmm. where they filmed Deadliest Catch, Dungeness Crab.
Mm-hmm.
But I was working with some old electricians there, and there was an old guy named Dave. And Dave was going to retire in just a couple weeks. I don't know why he was getting leadership training then. But he said, Nick, he said, I spent the first 3 years of my apprenticeship in the truck. And I said, in the truck? I said, were you on the service side? Were you in the service department? He said, no, I wasn't in service. He said, I'd go out to the job and do something, and my boss would be like, oh, hell, Dave, you do less damage in the truck. Go sit in the truck. And he said, I literally sat in the truck for 3 years. He said, but my boss never did ask to help me understand. He yeah. said, that was not in the cards. But we see a lot of that in our industry and in pretty much all industries. But anyway, so back to this guy in Houston. He sent me this email, said, Nick, I used to help me understand. I said, tell me the story. He said, well, he said, I'm on a big job on the north side of Houston. And he said, one of my best journeymen started showing up an hour late. He'd show up at 8 o'clock. We started at 7. And I told him, listen, we start at 7. I need you here at 7. He said, sorry, boss. Next day, showed up at 8. He said, dude, 8's not 7. 7's not 8. I need you here when we start. He said, sorry, boss. Next day, shows up at 8. He said, this went on for a week. And I'm like, dude, this is one of my best guys. And he said, I called my superintendent, his boss. And he said, what do you want me to do here? Got this guy showing up an hour late every day. I can't allow that to happen. He said, he's one of my best guys. He gets more done in 7 hours than other guys get done in 8. But he's showing up an hour late. And the superintendent was also in my workshop, and he looked at me and said, well, maybe you should try some of this Nick Biddle crap. that's what he called it.
Wow.
So that's where it got started. But anyway, to finish that story, so the next day, this foreman goes and sits down with that journeyman and just said, and help me understand what's going on. You're one of my best guys. You used to show up on time, if not early, every single day. And now you're showing up an hour late. And this guy looked at me and said, oh, boss, he said, it's just impossible for me to get here at 7. And a lot of times we'll have a knee-jerk reaction to that. We'll say, you know what, quit staying up all night playing video games, quit hanging out at the bar, quit chasing wild women. We go right down. We'll give a good sermon to somebody,
yeah,
not have all the facts.
Right.
But this guy didn't do that. This foreman didn't do that. He said, well, help me understand why it's impossible. He said, oh, boss, I hate to bother you with that. He said, no, you're not bothering me. I just want to know if I can help. He said, well, boss, he said, last week my wife took off. And he said, the problem is she took off and just left me and my little boy. And he said, the problem with that is he's special needs. He said, and there's only one daycare center on the south side of Houston where I live that can take care of his disability. And he said, the problem, boss, he said, they don't open till 7. And he said, by the time I drop him off, I'm fighting traffic all the way through downtown Houston to get to the north side of town to this job. And he said, you can't get through downtown Houston during rush hour traffic in less than an hour.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, I've mapped it out a dozen different ways. There's no way around it. He said, yesterday I met with the daycare center to see if I could pay somebody to show up at 6 so I could drop my little boy off at 6. And then I could get here on time. And he said, they can't do that. He said, boss, I know you got to fire me. I get it.
Aww.
He said, I don't know what I'm going to do. He said, all I know is that little boy is the most important thing in the world to me. Mm-hmm. And he don't understand why mama's not coming home anymore. Mm. The foreman sat down with the superintendent and just said, man, here's what's going on. And the superintendent said, well, you think he'd transfer? Said, we got a new job starting up on the south side of town. You think he'd go work for a different foreman? And they said, well, let's find out. And that foreman sat down with that journeyman and just said, man, I hate to hear what's going on, and I appreciate you bringing it to me, but I don't know if this will help, but if you would transfer to this other job, work for this other guy, we got a job on the south side of town starting up. Maybe that'll work. And they said that young man just broke down on him. Mm. You know, the weight of the world lifted off his shoulders. And they looked on the map, and that new job was less than 2 miles from that daycare center.
Wow.
And they said, if this will help you, you can drop your little boy off. You're going to show up a few minutes late. We'll figure that out. But they said, more importantly, if there's an emergency, you're going to be home.
Yes.
You're going to be close, you know. And just the weight of the world lifted off his shoulder. He said, why didn't you bring this to me? Why didn't you bring this to me? And he said, oh, boss, you're always telling us don't bring our personal crap to work.
Yeah.
And we say that.
Yes.
But we don't always mean it.
Yeah.
Help me understand.
That's some good stuff.
That's some good Nick Biddle crap right there.
Yes.
But, you know, I tell my guys in the workshop, I said, this helped me understand. It works on the job, might work better at home. Mm-hmm. I said, you ever go home and this never happened to me, but I'm sure it happens to other people. But
right.
I said, you ever go home and your spouse or significant other's clearly pissed? And, you know, of course they're like, yes. And I said, you ever go home and be like, what the heck's your problem? I said, that will create a response. I said, or you can go home, be like, sweetheart, looks like you had a rough day. Help me understand what's going on. And I'll tell them, get ready. I mean, they're going to help you understand. I mean, and it's probably your fault. Okay. And that's okay.
No.
That's okay. It's about collecting the facts. I mean, there's going to be conflict in life. There's going to be conflict on our jobs. There's going to be conflict in our homes. But why don't we collect the facts first?
Yes.
Collect the facts first and let's see what happens. Then we can do something with it.
Yeah.
I try to do that when I come home. I've
you
gotten better.
You do a
better.
Great job. You do a great job. You've taught me so much about communication. I knew nothing coming into our marriage, and you've taught us so much.
That's not true, but you knew something. But, you know, we use it with our kids.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, so maybe the takeaway, I wasn't even going to talk about that today, but maybe the takeaway is we got to ask better questions.
Yeah.
And I think that's what you did so good with your patients is you talk about how confidence, it's below the surface,
mm-hmm.
but that's where the conversation has to be.
That's true. Thank you.
So if we can ask better questions, if we can do a better job of listening,
yeah,
then I think great things can happen.
Yes.
And so I think next time what I want to talk about the five aspects of listening. It's mm-hmm. one of the things I
it's
teach
really
in a
good.
Lot of my workshops.
Yeah, it's good stuff.
It's about being deliberate, about listening in a conversation.
Yes.
But I think that is very beneficial if we just become better at that. And I teach this stuff, and I'm still not great at it, but I get better mm-hmm. at it every time I teach it.
Do a good job.
But
I like it.
Cool. Well, thanks for sharing about your career and the Cocoa Puffs today.
That was tough.
No, it was good. All right. Till next time. Take care.